for the interview, you need to download the client.
Motherfucker, he did the same thing to me.
Wow. Okay. I got a rush of like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, what are you doing? Blood drained out of my face, I think, because I went, why? My mind is like, I've been or I'm being hacked. Make sure you question everything first.
Don't trust, verify. Stay paranoid. Get educated.
Can I get your consent at some point?
Would I be in a game?
Yeah. Why not?
Hello. Thank you so much for joining
me. Hello. You're welcome. Pleasure to be here. As we said just before we started recording, you like the accent.
Yeah.
So I've put my posh voice on now.
I was saying that that I like your accent, but you probably, you know, hear my accent. You know, to me it's normal, and to you it sounds different. But you also said you have a friend here in Florida.
That's correct.
Yes.
Yeah. His name is Matt. I won't give away any more information. But he's, because we love privacy, don't we, as Bitcoiners?
So, yes.
Yeah, it's myself and Matt, and we are the developers behind BTCG, which is the Bitcoin card game that I'm developing. I'll get into that, and it's not a pitch, it's not a grift or anything. It's just
you need to talk about what you're doing. I know people don't love to talk about what they're working on. It makes it feel like you're shilling something and you don't want to sound like you're bragging. But at the same time, you're on the show so we can talk about all the cool things that people are working on. So I want to hear about it. People want to hear about it as much as you feel a little weird talking about yourself, you know, but we're going to make you do that today. So,
yeah. Woohoo! Yeah. Sorry, my cat has walked in as well. So,
cool.
She's sitting guard outside. So,
okay, maybe we'll get to see her. I always like it when I get to...
Come on.
Especially a cat, because she or he?
She.
She can run across the camera, possibly. We'll see.
Potentially. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, so it's me and Matt. We do the dev side of things for BTCG, the card game, and I'll end it with that, just that,
and
that
it's...
little bit, just that. Yeah, we're done.
That's it. Okay, end of story.
But what a story. So the dust has settled because it's been a few weeks.
Okay.
And where do I start? So I have been beavering away at this game for a little under a year. And just like you said, not massively keen on sort of, you know, talking about it, you know, marketing and all that sort of thing. I'm a true nerdy dev. I like building things, making fun games. So I guess I'll get right into it. The account that essentially contacted me and where it all started was an account called Glitch Visceral or Visceral Glitch. And I think they followed me months ago. And now I know their account was compromised. And they'd created another account. So they'd swapped the name. But basically, for whatever reason, he hadn't contacted X and kind of started the ball rolling with trying to get it recovered or get it flagged. So it was just left to fester and kind of contact people.
So was it like a duplicate account or imitating a different account, or?
It was his main account.
Mm-hmm.
And it had been compromised at some point, I believe, at the beginning of the year, I think it was compromised. I mean, this goes on a lot. And he's got the blue tick, you know, it's technically verified, because you get into a bit of a scenario, and this is, I'll get to this with my account. They take over your account, but there's no instant, you are like, it's the weirdest purgatory. You are locked out.
Uh-huh.
Because this is what happened to me. I'll try and keep it concise.
Actually,
so
you know what? This happened to another person I know on X, like a year
it's
ago.
It's awful.
And they literally took over, got a check mark. Or they created a new one, made it like pretty much. I think if this is the same situation, they reported the original account saying that that was an impersonator. That person got locked out. And then they created a new account and then pretended to be him. And all of the people that followed him before started following back because they thought it was him. And he didn't come. I think recently he just came back, and it took like a year for him to.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel kind of lucky. I mean, I was desperate because, I mean, I've got my main account. I mean, I'm not a massive entity in X. I use that word a lot, entity, but I'm not a huge, I'm not a celebrity. I'm nothing. I'm just a pleb like everyone else. You know, I do my thing. And, you know, being locked out of the account, it's bizarre. I don't class myself as a bit of a social junkie. I'm not constantly, I mean, I do doom scroll like everyone else time to time, but my X account is, I've got a lot of kind of a non-friends on there. You know, some people I've never met, some people I have met. I've been to Bitcoin meetups. You know, like I say, I've met Daniel, who I was mentioning before we started recording. I'm gonna just plug his book. There's his book. Came today.
And tell everyone the name of that book.
Yeah, it's called Choose Life.
Choose Life.
Yeah. Nice. Dan will love that. Yeah. Anyway, so
he's totally into it right now, so I'll link it down below, yeah, so you guys can check out that book.
I digress. Yeah, so I'm going to start reading that. But so I've met some people. I've met Dan, Daniel. I've met people who will watch this will see me and they go, "Oh, that's Cookie." You know, I was at the local Bury St Edmunds conference as well. I was giving out a load of BTCG stickers. Little holographic stickers, all freebies. You know,
hey, I'm not helping with you saying I digress, because I tend to make people do it more. But can you tell us where you are right now? So where was this conference at? Where are you?
I'm in the UK. So I'm down in the south, the southeast of the UK. And Bury St Edmunds is just kind of middle England, just, I guess you could say, Norfolk kind of way. It's lovely up there. It's lovely.
Weird.
Down where
you
I am.
I start talking with an English accent when I talk to you.
Yeah. And I say no worries all the time. And Matt has picked up on that.
Yeah.
And he says that as well. And he says that to his wife. It's so funny.
I want to say England. Is that England. Even good?
Yes. Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's good. It's not bad. It's an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Nothing.
So, and I mean, I'm, you know, I look at myself, I'm laughing and I'm kind of jovial and I'm really chilled out now. But I tell you, 2 weeks ago, as you were saying earlier, I was in a bad place because, and it's only money or value, like, but I felt violated. Mm. So the guy had this compromised account and he was messaging me, and there was a few very soft, gentle, nothing pushy, because you always hear, oh, you know, if someone's being pushy to put in your seed phrases or provide information, nothing.
Okay.
It was just literally, do you want to come on something like this? Mm. You know, ironically, it was, do you want to come and talk about your card game? And I was like, okay.
Did they send you a link too?
Yeah. So that's, that was the next stage.
Okay.
He sort of socially engineered me. Sent me a link, and this was through X, and I didn't click it straight away. Now, I've spoken to the police force over here, the I think it's the cybercrime department for my local police force, and he believes, from the information I've sent him in the link, the URL, everything, he believes that it was at that point when I clicked the link and connected my Gmail account. It was at that point that he accessed everything, because I went one further, and this is going to sound so shameful and stupid. And I mean, it did at the time. I'm not now. I've got a lot more conviction now.
Well,
but I clicked the link.
Just for background, you are tech, you know, you're into tech, you're a developer, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's so, correct, and this is an important story, because this happened to you, and this is, this can happen to anybody, so it's really important to be aware.
It is.
You know, so anyway, go ahead. How did it happen?
Yeah, really quickly. I mean, CrowdStrike are a massive, massive firm. Because I was telling my boss what happened to me, and he said CrowdStrike got done. They're huge. You know, like you say, it can happen to anyone.
Right.
And I guess what I'll probably be getting to is, it was a momentary lapse of. It was a momentary lapse of judgment. I was in quite an ecstatic kind of, I'd just done what you would call a mini sprint of, you know, I'd had a really good week. I'd really gone hard at the development side. I got to the end of, like, I think it was the Friday or the Saturday, and I was in a really good mood. So I had X open, saw the messages, saw the link. I clicked the link and it opened up what was a, well, now we understand he had engineered the link to go to a site that he had essentially sandboxed, and he controlled it. So when I clicked the link, it opened the website, and I was basically in his domain, but it was based on a service called StreamYard.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't. It looked like it.
Yes.
Did it, you know, behaved like it. And then he used the whole, to get the advanced features for the interview, you need to download the client.
He did the same thing to me.
Yeah.
Okay, continue.
Wow. Okay. So this must have some some really odd parallels with.
It's weird because this happened, I think. You said how many weeks ago it happened to you. So it happened to me shortly afterwards, I think.
A week apart or 2 weeks apart?
Yeah, because mine happened about a little over a week, like a week and a half ago.
Yeah, so it's been about 3 weeks. Yeah, so it must have been about a week and a half after it happened to me.
We're
it's
having
been
a about therapy three... session.
That's... It does feel like that. And weirdly, talking about it, so I'll get back to Rick, who I mentioned. He's been amazing. He amazing. I will get back to him.
Okay.
I hope this doesn't drag on for too long, but there's so much to it. So anyway, mm-hmm. I click the link. I'm in his website, and I know talking about this now. I felt immediately as soon as I clicked the link and downloaded the client, I got a rush of like whoa whoa whoa, like a what are you doing? Okay. And I realized, because it didn't work. It was weird. The app thing I tried to install failed. And at that point, I kind of snapped out of whatever I was doing. I was like, what am I doing? What have you done? Like, I've just downloaded something from someone I have no idea.
Yeah.
I like living the cliche of don't click any links.
And then when you realize, I think when it clicks is when you click, when you do that, and you're not thinking, you start to realize, you know how things aren't normally that hard when you're doing a normal thing. But then when it's an attack, you realize that this thing that they're telling you to do, you're doing it and it's not working. And you're like, wait, why is this so hard? And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Shit moment.
Yeah.
Kicked in right at that moment. So the software failed to install. I guess Windows kicked in. You know, I even bypassed the moment in Windows. I know a lot of people run Mac, so I don't really know about Mac. But in Windows, you get an option where it says, do you really want to run this software? Mm-hmm. Almost like the last bastion of, do you want to run it? Are you sure? I clicked yes.
Yeah.
And so then it failed. Just trying to remember. It failed. And at that point, I messaged. So I've got X open with the DMs, and mm-hmm. I messaged him. I said, it's not worked. You know, what do we want to do here? You know, a bit like us before this meet, it was like, I'll give you the link, get you logged in, yada, yada, yada. And I messaged him back and I said, it's not worked. And he said, this was what was even weird. He said, oh, I'll let the team know. So it felt like he was running some sort of media team that he wasn't.
He was like killing time because he's like, I'll let the team know. Let me sit here and burrow into your computer while you wait.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
so
I'm checking on things.
So not anything kind of happened to my machine as far as locally in front of me. So nothing started, you know, move. You know, I would have clocked and sort of started. Yeah, you know, I probably would have turned the machine off. But what it was he was targeting my Gmail account.
Uh-huh.
So the moment I think the police officer that I spoke to said that he thinks that regardless of whatever I downloaded, it was the moment I clicked in and linked my Gmail account. Uh-huh. For whatever reason, he managed to bypass. And this is the scary bit. And I think I said it on that kind of video thing where I did like my self video. No notifications, no triggers, no nothing. He was straight in. Then the moment that I had kind of divulged to the community or the world was I'd set up, and I've got it here, I'd set up a keystone. It's the metal.
Yeah, I've had one of those. Or I do.
Yeah, and I mean, I've got some other things coming as well, and I'll get to that. There's some people that have reached out to me and have been really, really supportive. So I'd set that up. But what I hadn't done, and the way I describe it is, it's like, you know, you go and make yourself a sandwich and you've left loads of breadcrumbs back to the loaf. And they're like, you know, the rats come in and they can follow the breadcrumbs. I hadn't, gone and deleted. So I had my phrases, which I transferred to my Keystone, digitally stored in a text file in a folder. And I'd named that, I can say now because it's been deleted,
yeah,
but the folder was called Family. So this kind of makes it even more like, and I'm past the crying phase, so don't worry. I look like really red as well, flushed.
Dude, I know what you're feeling, and I'll, yeah, so go ahead.
So that folder was named Family, and it's her. So in there was the text file with all of the seed phrases to all of the wallets and bits and pieces. So at the time, so my history is I have dabbled with shitcoins in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people have come from that journey, and then I found Bitcoin. So you were 2020, I was late 2021, mm-hmm, but hadn't actually potentially bought anything until even later than that. So okay. Anyway, I found Bitcoin, and that's it. And so we had residual wallets like Hot Wallet. We had both a Coinbase wallet each. I think I had a Phantom wallet or something. So anyway, he got all of the phrases and the passwords, as I've had to keep it simple to friends and family because they don't understand any of this. So I've said he got all the passwords.
Yeah.
And the Saturday evening, not much happened. So I think he probably got access.
Days later.
So he got access Saturday afternoon, and I believe I couldn't have been the only person because it didn't feel like it was immediate, but Sunday is family day, you know, or some people go to church, you know, they do all of their things that they need to do.
Strategic.
So
I'd go. You would be busy, right?
It feels like that. Yeah. Oh. So it feels like that. And so I went to visit my mum. It's a fair distance. So, you know, I'm driving, I'm concentrating. I'm not looking at the phone constantly. I've got my daughter with me. So yeah. I go and visit my mum. And then while I'm at my mum's, it was about midday. So Sunday morning, before I'd gone to my mum's, we'd woken up and my wife's wallet had my wallet, my coin. So we both have a Coinbase wallet, Hot Wallet, and both our wallets had had about £300 worth of crap, shitcoin crap, because you get sent tons of crap to these wallets, and it had all been like, I guess it was the dust of stuff. It had all been like wrapped up and taken and sent somewhere. And I was looking at it, and I was like, why have I sent something to my wife's wallet? Because my wife's wallet is the only address wallet that I've got attached in my wallet, which makes sense. I'd somehow sent, and this was at 3 a.m, or 3:40 in the morning, 3:30.
Oh, they sent it from your wallet to her wallet?
Yeah, so I think what they did is they used some, was it ETH or something in there? And then they went to my wife's wallet, took everything. I had about £40 worth of ETH in there, some leftover crap. We'd never used it.
Is her wallet linked to your Gmail too?
So we believe I'd stored the phrase for not only my wallet and my wife's wallet in that folder. I know. I have had that shame moment come over me several times since it happened. And to be able to just like talk about it, it does kind of just, it gets it out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got nothing to hide.
Yeah.
So my wallet, my wife's wallet, that was £600. And I mean, that's a lot of money. I mean, even my mum. So I went to my mum's and I told my mum, I said, oh, mum, you know, I've had someone. And I didn't link it. My emergency mechanism hadn't kicked in.
Didn't link the wallet draining with the link that you downloaded.
No. And it was, and again, I've gone over this multiple times. I just, a lack of like urgency. I don't know what was going on with my brain. So I'm at my mum's. And I think I leave my mum's at about 2-ish, something like that. So then I drive back. It's about an hour and a half drive back. So I come home. And then this is the weirdest part. The rest of Sunday, I never even looked at my phone. I didn't even open any of the wallets. Little did I know, at 2:30, my time, whoever it was, I'll get to that as well.
Yeah.
He had gone into my ledger, which... So in my head, I'm thinking ledger is air-gapped, I guess is the right terminology for me to think about it. You know, it's hardware key and the phone app, and you need the physical two button key thing to do any transactions.
Right.
No. As soon as you've got the phrase, so this is the whole thing. So if you've got any secret, it's game over. So at about 2:30, and I'm driving home, he's literally drained over four transactions all of the Bitcoin that I've been, one, saving myself, two, I've been also custodying for my wife. Yeah, it's a really weird scenario. It's a really weird thing, reliving it, telling you now. So we had like, and on a ledger you can create different accounts. So I had like mine, GC, and then I had the wife. And then I had one called joint. Mm-hmm. And he'd gone in and he'd basically done four transactions to just drain all of the Bitcoin straight out.
Yuck. Gross.
And yeah. So they
drained the wallets you had.
Yeah, so that was just the ledger. So he'd already done some, there was just tons of little minor transactions in the Coinbase hot mm-hmm. wallet. So we didn't really think too much about that. It's so bizarre. People listening to this are going to be like, you idiot. So anyway, then the only reason.
Connect them. That's only a day later. So when I tell you my version, you're going to.
Go on. Well, really quick. So I hadn't opened anything on the Sunday. I got home and then I went to work Monday. So I'm in work mode. I get home Monday, 5 p.m. Finish work, got home. That is the moment that evening that I will never forget. It is burnt into my brain. I opened the ledger and there was the value of the bit. So there was about 60,000. I mean, I'm not, you know, that. We'd been saving that over a period of time, you know, years, for about, well, in monetary fiat times, for terms, probably about 5 or 6 years worth of money saving. And then obviously we converted into Bitcoin and then it had grown in real unrealized gains till, you know, 3 weeks ago. But yeah, about 60,000 pounds. And I can't explain. So when I opened it up, and if you've ever, so, you know, like when you do like a move, see it. It literally went from 60,000. It went down in weird chunks. And those were the four transactions. It went down in like 20,000. Then it went down in 10,000. And then it went down in another chunk. And then it just went to zero. And the Bitcoin like entry just vanished off of my ledger. And that is the that moment, that feeling is, you know, I mean, no one died, but it was, and no one was hurt, but it was a feeling like, I'd lost a limb or my gut fell out. I threw the phone onto the sofa. I put my head in my hands and my wife is watching all this go on. And I'm just going, oh no, oh no, oh no. Like, and then, well, oh fuck, oh fuck.
Yeah. And she's probably thinking like, what did something happen to someone? This and this. And
yeah. She thinks I'm, I don't know what she was thinking. I mean, it's a shame she's not here to say, but I felt awful. And my gut fell out.
Well, you're just thinking, how did this happen? What the hell's going on? You know,
blood drained out of my face, I think, because I went white. And then I think I was, you know, late evening, I was messaging and the only thing I could think to do was like to put a message out. I put a Rick, who I'll get to, he follows me because of the card game. And he saw me put, I think there was a post I put where I just put, we've just had all our Bitcoin drained. And that was it. That was all I could write. And I put it out. I think I was messaging someone and he saw it. And no word of a lie, 10 minutes probably later, he messaged me and said, what's your phone number? At that point, I'm going, my mind is like, I've been or I'm being hacked. Didn't really know what to do. But I trusted him. Because I've messaged him, we know we kind of, mm-hmm. you know, we've messaged each other. Anyway, I let him, he phoned me and he was epic. I'm blubbing my eyes out, mm-hmm. you know, mid-40s, I am crying my eyes out.
I can feel your pain. Like I'm literally, my chest feels heavy. Like I'm tight. I'm reliving. Yeah.
Tight. It's tight. Oh, is like the nausea. Sensation. Yeah, so he phoned me And he was just like, he's like, dude. And he was like in a position where he was focused, because I'm panicking, I'm blubbing, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just, it's gone. All of that money, all of that hard work, completely gone. Just like rug pulled from underneath me. So that's all our hard work gone. And he's on the thing saying, he couldn't really say too much at the time, but he was like, it was a bit mysterious, because he was like, look, send me the transaction IDs. So I took a screenshot and I sent him the four transaction IDs. That all, and then he helped me compose a post that would then go out onto X. And it was, time was of the essence. And he said, right, I'm going to give you a phone number for a police officer who in the police force. Phone this number. And this is now 9 o'clock at night. I'm phoning the number. I'm not getting through. Da, 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 da. I then phone Rick back. And I'm like, look, I've tried the number. I can't get through. He's like, you're going to have to try in the morning. At this point, while we're talking and having these phone calls, he's managed to get hold of Keown from the Samurai, Wallet dev team. And I mean, I felt it was like something out of a movie, because he's like, if only you knew who's tracking your funds right now. And I'm like, tracking my funds? And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, look, give me a minute. Let me send this all over. And Keown, if you see this, we didn't win in the end, but thank you. I'm just like, say, I'm a random pleb. He, in 25 minutes, Keown had tracked from the transaction IDs, tracked everything. There's like images and a chart and some spreadsheets. He'd whipped all of this like pack of data together, like a package of things that you would like, if you were a police officer and you were handed this, it's like giving you the entire case almost completed, right up to the point where you can go to prosecution.
There is cybersecurity, or like, what is it called? Cybercrime unit that you were in contact with then?
Yeah, so this was the day later, but this guy, Keown, from Samurai Wallet, had just tracked all of the movements all across the blockchain, all across the Bitcoin blockchain. And it ended up showing that the hacker had deposited the Bitcoin to several different wallet addresses, which I believe they're still where they are. But the bulk of it then went through to like 9 different kind of deposited addresses, and then it all went to Binance. And then there were three Binance accounts. And then from that, that's into the fiat world. So as you know, you can track everything on the blockchain up to a point. And because I'm not law enforcement, the only thing I could do, I couldn't get hold of the police. And if I phoned my local police station, they would have had no idea. It would have just been a completely pointless. It would have been like talking, you know, rocket science. Yeah, and no disrespect to them, but they have no idea,
right?
Yeah, man stealing a purse, they can comprehend that, but like telling them that Bitcoin's going across the blockchain, is that landed at the exchange, you know, I've got all the addresses and they'd just be like, blah, blah, blah.
Like, why would you buy this thing in the first place? That's all they're gonna think,
and it's humiliating as well. I said that quite early on. And anyway, so it landed, three chunks of our Bitcoin landed at Binance. And thereafter, I couldn't get any information. So I contacted Binance officially, and I got through and I sent this whole pack of information that Rick had got to me via Keown, forwarded it to Binance. And I was like on hold, but with Rick on the phone. It was like some weird, like, he was like, how's it going? Have you got a rep? And I was like, yeah, the rep's telling me they've told me that it's been withdrawn. And then I was like, my gut even fell out even more, because I knew it had gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
what
sad.
What happened?
He or she or whoever it was had withdrawn it out of Binance. Now, it's only until I was frantically a couple of days into that week. So this was the Monday. I was frantically trying to get my X account back. And I was hammering X. I was emailing them. I was messaging them.
It started off with them trying to give you a link because of your game. They got into your X. They hacked your X account or created a new one. They locked you out of X.
And they locked me out of my main X account and took over the card game account as well.
Took over both accounts. Got into your email. Drained your wallets. Okay, what the
With Microseed, you can engrave your entire seed phrase onto a durable titanium washer. It's the ultimate backup. Simple, indestructible, giving you true peace of mind and knowing your seed phrase is secured for life. Use my link in the description to get your kit.
Satoshis. So many new styles and fully customizable. Use my referral link in the description or in the comments for 10% off your order. The Bitcoin Advisor, for multi-sig custody solutions to store your Bitcoin, inheritance planning, and peace of mind.
Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing about it now because, I mean, that's the sort of, I guess, character I am. I, you know, laugh things off, you know.
Yeah.
It's, and a lot of people that know me, I'm not one to sort of dwell on it.
Yeah.
But, and I need to move forward for my sanity and, you know, for the rest of my family.
Right.
But it's the fact that I got locked out of both my ex accounts as well. So it wasn't only I had all the Bitcoin gone, my ex accounts all got locked out.
Yeah.
I couldn't communicate with anyone. And it's, I go back to this weird purgatory. When you don't have access to your ex accounts, and bearing in mind, I'm paying for these two accounts. I'm now left having to just, I thought, what can I do? I created a generic unverified account. And guess what? Unverified accounts, you can't message anyone.
Oh, shoot.
It's the weirdest feeling. You're like outside of everything. And I'm like trying to post messages to people, hoping they'll see it, like a call for help. And I'm saying, guys, can you help get some, you know, get some eyes on this? Like, my account's been locked. It's been hacked. I've been duped. You know, they turned off two factor. They changed the phone numbers. They changed the email address. They did
That's
enough
why
to
it's
just
so
sort
important
of.
Because we as Bitcoiners have so many friends on X, but that's why it's so important to have a backup like Noster, so that you can have some of your closest contacts on there at least, so you can get in contact with somebody in case you need help. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, you know, when you see people saying, oh, you can get me, you can catch me on Nostra. Here's my Nostra pub address, whatever. And I've got one, but like I have kind of centralized a lot of my time and contacts on X.
And you wonder if it's time is of the essence. How often do they check Nostra? Where they'll get a notification?
Yeah.
Will they even get one? And when will they check it?
Yeah. So I'm still reeling from that. That was, but I mean, you know, you kind of get complacent. So, and that was the other thing. It was complacency that I hadn't gone back and deleted the folder in the Gmail account and just basically tightened up all my security. So, I guess my story is definitely a kind of a call to action for people to, you know, when number go up, everyone's happy and everyone's absolutely loving it. You know, they're like, oh, they get all the adrenaline. They're like, buy more Bitcoin. Great. But like, you cannot forget that what you're holding is the most pristine asset ever just given to us, and you can't mess it up. So like I did, and I've learned my lesson from that. And I mean, I know that's, you know, it's hard to say it, but it that's true. I fucked up, and I really, really, really hope that, you know, people will.
I mean, it makes me feel like, you know, it is so important for you to tell your story. And I'll tell you, I could start with mine so you could hear how how similar this was, and how it happened to both of us literally around the same time. And but one thing about you is how you said that even though it was 60,000 pounds.
Yeah. And I even said on the video, not a lot of money. And I don't want that to sound like, you know, oh, it's, you know, just 60,000. It is a lot of money.
Well,
but I don't even know
how to convert that to US dollars. So I really don't even, I mean, I was thinking about that, but I'm like, oh, I don't even know the conversion rate. But the thing is, to me, it sounds like a whole lot. But what I'm saying is like, and whatever it was, you bought it, you said over 5 years time. So it's not like, okay, it was actually today's money that you spent that today. You know, it was over time when you spent less to buy that, whatever. But the point is, you felt completely violated. You lost whatever you were saving, and it could have been worse. You could have not had access to your, you know, your game account, your regular account, but you did get access to that back. How long after did that happen?
And credit to X, I think it was the Tuesday. It was the Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Wednesday I managed to get access to both as well. Well, one was my main account, Bitcoin Cookie, and then the BTCG official account was I think later that end of that day. But just really quickly, I won't hang on this.
Yeah.
The value of that Bitcoin, the 60,000, I need to just let you. So where I am now is our forever home. And people that know me or I've spoken in a few spaces, we haven't had it easy. I'm sitting here with my lovely headset and a PC. I know there's people, and I've said this, but there's people in the world that are struggling. And, you know, in comparison, I'm not. In retrospect, we moved over 5 years. We moved like 3 or 4 times. And the reason for that was we were like moving property, getting into another property. And then we rented one house out and then we rented another. And then, and so, but we've tried to eke out a bit of profit from those moves and those risky situations and put it into Bitcoin. Now it just feels like we did all that, all the stress, all the anxiety. You know, we lived under the roof of the brother-in-law right through COVID for nine months in a room in a bedsit. And I just
you want everything you went through to get that. Yes, like all the time and all the, you know, the uncomfortable moments in life or the, you know, the risky moves you said you made, you know, to get to that point. And then someone just violates you. It's so disgusting.
Yeah. And someone said to me, you are a victim. And I was like, I've never had to take on that sort of feeling of being a victim, but I am a victim. And it's, someone said to me, that was it. You could be walking down the street with your wallet in your back pocket. And say you've got £100 in your wallet. You could be just walking down the street and someone comes up to you and smacks you around the head, puts you on the floor, maybe knocks you out, robs you of your phone and your wallet and takes all the money. There's the kind of no difference, because the feeling I had afterwards was like that I'd been attacked, but not physically. And so it was, and I could kind of relate to that. And I've used that as a, as an analogy. You know, I've been attacked.
Assaulted. Like assaulted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, violated, assaulted, attacked. And the, knowing that feeling that I've had and that I'm going through and just sitting here talking to you, thank you. Yep. I really hope that people take this in.
It's weird because I think when I first saw your story or I saw people share your story and I saw your video that you shared on X talking about what happened, I had a similar type situation where a friend lost a lot of Bitcoin. And I think it's so important to share that story. And I think it's so brave of you to share that story because,
thank you.
Because it is hard to talk about and it's like reliving the pain that you felt, you know, just being assaulted that way. It's very hard to talk about. And plus there's always going to be haters or people that will say something, but there's so much more positivity coming your way and people that care and understand, you know, but there's going to be some people that are just terrible, you know, that will say what they say, but it takes bravery, you know, for you to speak about it because it helps others not ignore that.
Like you with what you suffered with sort of the period after. So you were running your mining system and so someone got in and was actually took control of your computer.
Yeah. So I have, it was strange because I don't think this is the case, but I felt like it was targeted to me or something, knowing you're a Bitcoiner, knowing I'm a Bitcoiner.
The platform you've got as well.
Right. Being a YouTube channel and just being targeted felt like even more of a violation because like it feels like someone knows about you from your online presence and they can find you, you know, and attack you this way. So what happened, this is so strange how it happened, but it was very similar to yours. So my husband got an email because he, you know, he has his regular job, but he has a side job. So his side job, he sings, you know, so he gets contacted all the time through this site where, people hire him for private parties. So this one person emailed him the other night and they said, you know, I need to get on a Zoom call. I want to hire you for some event, but can we chat before or something? So he's like, sure. And it said in the email, get on a computer to get on the Zoom call.
There's urgency there. You can already hear it. There's a little bit of urgency, like kind of propels it forwards.
Yeah. And he has his own computer, but he has his mic set up with his soundboard from his shows. So he's like, oh, I'd have to go out to my car to get it. So can I just get on your computer to go on to this Zoom call? So I'm like, sure. So he gets on his email address. He clicks the link. And then it was disguised. It was saying that it was a Zoom business. So it made him see, it made it seem like it was a Zoom business update. He needed to update the Zoom. And I thought, normally when I join Zoom calls, it goes to a web tab or, you know, something. I don't have to update anything on my actual computer. But it was saying that it needed some, Zoom needed an update. I'm like, well, I never really use Zoom, so maybe it does need an update. I'm not sure.
Maybe it's changed. Yeah. Maybe the way they do it has changed. Yeah.
So, but it was weird because he pressed run, like to run the update or something, again, installing it, and it wasn't working. So I go to him, I'm like, where's the meeting link in your email? And he's like, there's no meeting link. I'm like, why is there no meeting link? Can't you just type that into the web app and just join the meeting? And it wasn't there. So he messaged the person back saying, can you send me the meeting link? And then there wasn't a response immediately. And that's when I thought, let me see.
That's that the penny drops.
Yeah. And that's when I thought, why is this so hard? Like, because he was trying to join and he wasn't able. And I'm like, why is it so hard for you to join this right now? It shouldn't be this hard. And that's when I noticed that there weren't any Zoom, you know, there wasn't a Zoom meeting number, you know, to add. Mm. Well, I thought when things are too hard, then he said to me, he goes, do you think this could be a scam? And I'm like, you get all these shows through this thing all the time. Like, people are always contacting you. But at that point, I go, just tell her if she's a real person that you'll just call her on the phone and you'll tell, why do you need to face, like, show face to face? So I looked through my computer. I didn't see anything wrong. I didn't even know the thing downloaded to my computer. I thought he never pressed run because it didn't look like there was anything on my computer. It didn't look like any application was downloaded. Nothing was there. And then because I looked in the downloads, I deleted the download out of the downloads section and I just didn't see anything that was installed. So I'm like, okay, I guess we're fine. Just don't get on that link or something.
Yeah.
So it was a day later that I checked into my mining account. It's mining as a service is what I use. So I checked into this mining as a service and I couldn't get in. It kept saying wrong password. So then I looked at my email to see if anyone had changed my stuff. I didn't see anything. I checked my trash. It was in my trash. It told me your email address was changed to this person's email address.
Oh, that's sneaky. So they've done it.
And then they trashed it to make sure I didn't see it. And the weird thing was, okay, so then I was able to get access to that account back because I know people that were very helpful through Bitcoin that I've met that were, you know, the CEO of the company was very helpful. He contacted me with the right people and they were able to lock that person out immediately. They closed them off and because that person took over my account and removed my 2FA and then put their own 2FA on it so that I couldn't get back in.
So when they were in,
I didn't connect that this had anything to do with the link that we were trying to get onto the day before. I had no idea they were connected events.
That's the disparity, and it's a weird fit. Like when you think it back, as you're probably doing it now, you're like, how? Like,
so as the week went on, I thought that's so weird that account. And I again didn't connect those two events. Then a few days went by. So it first happened Monday, then by Thursday, I started noticing, or by Wednesday, maybe it happened a little bit, but I started noticing that my cursor wasn't showing up on my screen, my mouse cursor. And I'm like,
red flag.
I was like, I don't know. I was like, maybe my computer is glitching because I need to like update Windows or something's going on. So and it didn't happen much. It was just for a minute and then it went away. And I'm like, that was weird. And then the next day I saw it again.
Yeah.
And my mouse wasn't showing up and it just looked like my tabs were highlighted, but I couldn't easily click something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so strange. What is going on with my computer? I thought maybe I had downloaded, you know, there was too much. I needed to clean out my computer or something.
Yeah. You get moments where your computer just doesn't run quite right. So you need to like give it a sort of a rejig or.
I thought I needed a restart. I don't know what was going on. Yeah. So then by Friday, I wake up in the morning. I see that I had made a post on Twitter an hour prior while I was still sleeping. And I didn't make that post. And I saw people, like I saw it said, someone liked it, like liked a post of mine. And I'm like, what?
So had they used your computer?
So they were in. So that's when I realized that. And you know what the post was? The post was, because I have 2FA on my Twitter account.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody could get into my Twitter.
Hmm.
I have 2FA on the mining account that I have access to again.
Yeah.
And nobody can get into that. I changed literally every password to everything I ever have. I did everything. I'm not going to like go through everything I did, but I've upgraded the shit out of my security.
Same thing afterwards for that. Like just when it had ended, I went mad on changing all of it's the weirdest thing. Yeah.
I think it was initially, I think, with my email address. I don't know. So anyway, like I think the one email address, I think I thought that they got into my one email because I have multiple email addresses and the one I use for some stuff doesn't have, it was the only one without 2FA. So I thought, oh man, they got into that one and changed stuff because that one didn't have it.
It's the weakest one. Yeah.
So, but then I realized that the post that they made on my Twitter page was a screenshot of my mining account. Like because it gives you like a current balance before, you know, you get transfers. So it showed my actual current balance. And even though I logged in, I had access to it still. I'm like, so how do they have a current exact balance of right now if they don't have access? And then they posted it on my Twitter page. I was so confused and it was so early in the morning. So I deleted the post because I didn't want anyone to click. You know what it said? It said, check this out. It's working for me. Click this link for a free rig. I would never say that or post that.
And your worry is that if someone clicks that,
now their computer could get,
and you'll be part of the chain, and you feel
responsible. Like if someone someone were to click on that, then this person could be doing what they're doing. So when I went down, I went downstairs, I looked at I have this installer thing where I could check or uninstall programs and remove every file or something.
Hmm.
So I looked through that. I didn't see anything that was installed, but then I organized it by date. And that's when it showed up. And it was 3 separate screen sharing apps that were installed since that day, Monday. It was 3 separate screen sharing apps. It was a new Ledger wallet that was installed.
So they really...
It was disguised as an update for Ledger. So they probably made it so that if I were to open Ledger, they'd be inside it or something. They downloaded a new Google Chrome. They downloaded every program that was downloaded since that day.
So it could have been a lot worse than it was. So I'm assuming, did you and your husband sort of like attack it head on, get rid of all this stuff, antivirus, change part? Yeah.
The weird thing was too, probably 2 weeks prior, I have my Ledger wallet and I never had a numeric passcode to get in. But 2 weeks before that, I, for the first time, was like, oh, I could add extra security onto my Ledger password so I could put a numeric password so no one could see what's on there unless they have this code. And I did that 2 weeks prior. So even if they were to open it, they wouldn't be able to see it unless they had the password. And then they, so they could have, if I were, let's say, to plug in my Ledger and try to send a transaction, they could have phished that. You know, they could have like changed last second. I've heard people like
man in the middle.
Yeah. Like they're in your computer and they're seeing you're trying to transact. Mm-hmm. So they'll change last second the address, you know? So that's what they could have done, but they wouldn't have been able to drain a wallet unless they had the seed phrase, right? So when I went through my Google account, guess what they were searching for in my search history?
Yep.
They were searching for passphrases and seed phrases. And
that will be a script or something, some Python, whatever, that will just, it will just go in, it will bleed through everything and it will just rip that all out. So there might not necessarily be a manual process to it, but they'll have already pre-programmed with ChatGPT now. Right. You can prime it with what you
crazy. Like that's what you think of. That's how security for Bitcoin is important, because you have a savings tool that you're saving in. My bank account wasn't targeted. My identity in any other way wasn't targeted. It was my Bitcoin that was targeted.
And I've spoken to people openly that are outside of the Bitcoin bubble. And when you tell them, when I tell them what's happened to me, they're nice. And I get, like, you know, they are, oh, that's terrible. But I can imagine, I can almost hear it deep down, although they're not saying it, you know, like, well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And it kind of, that's the scenario. Like you said, it didn't hit the traditional banking system stuff. And the same thing as well. I was paranoid. They had access to my phone. Like, I, you know, it's the weirdest feeling, isn't it? When you can't really pinpoint exactly where all these attack vectors have come in or what they're doing. When will it end? It was awful.
I'm just lucky or glad that I don't store anything. So this is, I feel bad that you had yours stored on a computer, but it's easy to do that. And you're right. Yeah. They could have used a Python script to find it. Even if you have it disguised as a different folder, whatever it is, do not store your seed phrase or your password, if you, for people that don't understand, on a computer, because they can search for that if they ever get in. And again, they disguised the link for you a certain way. They disguised it for me, making it seem like a Zoom update. Mm. Or they didn't make it seem like you're trying to download something specifically. They made it look like an update for Zoom. And they made it seem like Zoom business, because they thought, oh, if they're contacting for a private party, it's... And then I started, my paranoia started going crazy, because I'm like,
yep.
Do they know that I'm married to my husband and they found him? Yep. On purpose, or was this just randomly they got into him somehow, but then they went searching for the Bitcoin instead of bank account information? Like, they didn't. So it's like, you know, it feels like they study you and they look at you and you're, and they're figuring out how to attack you.
Because we're all so used to just posting messages, you know, pinging things out into the ether, you know, hey, GM, da, 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 da. And it's all very sort of like off. I don't know if you know what I mean. It's all very sort of friendly. Mm-hmm. No one's really, there's no attacking each other. Maybe you'll get into a debate or an argument and there'll be message and then message and then message. And you can handle that. But it's when, like you've just said, it's when you feel like they've spent the time to look into your kind of your processes, the things you do, your timings, your, like, you said, was it they posted stuff at like a time in the day where you're not.
Oh, and you know what else they did?
On.
They took that message. I didn't notice it because I was so deep into trying to figure out how to protect myself.
Over here doing this and they're over here. Yeah.
My husband noticed that they posted it, that same post, in four different chats that he's part of from my friends on X. And by the time I looked, they had posted it to 12 different people, trying to get someone to click on it, because they kept sharing it to every single message. And I found out that the account that I was the contact I had to help me get access back to my, my mining.
To your mining. Yeah.
It was through Telegram. And then I didn't know, because I don't check Telegram often, but they messaged that person that helped me the same
as if they were you.
As if they were me, with the same link in my Telegram account. And then I was kicked out of the Telegram community that I'm part of because of, like, they're like, oh, not because they thought I was doing it, because they thought I was
hacked. But it's damage control.
Yeah,
yeah,
they
thought
I was hacked, which I had been. So they kicked me out of the community because of this weird post that I shared.
So did you get in again and be able to see all of this history?
Well, I did,
and it was weird.
Well, so what I did check as far as some history was, there was the weirdest Google search history that freaked me out.
I shouldn't laugh, but
no, it's funny.
My mind goes over here, and
I swear to God, it was like, it shook me what was in my Google search history. I called my husband because at that point I started, like, I was crying. You know, I was actually like, what is this? Like, what if someone's attacking you and attacking your Bitcoin or trying to steal your money, why the F are they on my Google history searching for this shit? And my husband thought the first thought he had was blackmail. He goes, maybe somebody's doing this so they could share this information and say it's you so they could blackmail you for something. And then he told a friend of his about, like, literally standing next to him, he told him about what I found. And the guy with my husband's like, without even telling him my thought, he literally said, are you trying to blackmail her? And then that's where, like, another level of paranoia came over me. And I'm like,
that's awful.
Yeah. So I get a lot of emails. Oh, this person wants to be on your podcast. And I freaking delete them all. I never respond to any of these people because I'm like, unless I know you from somebody or if I
reach out.
I reach out to this person, I will not respond to these people because I don't trust anybody just cold emailing me, you know, through finding me on YouTube. I hate to say it, but like, if you really want to find me, you know,
It's difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like you have to vet people a certain way, and I'm very paranoid, so I don't just let anybody on my show unless I know something about you or unless people that I know you.
Yes, so this leads to, so for the card game account, it's not got a massive following, but I will probably use my main account to DM people privately. So like we've DM'd and whatnot to get to this point. But quite rightly, you're going to use your mind to go, okay, who do I trust who potentially knows this person?
Right.
And you work it out. But like, so I went through the history of my main account. And he, honest, this person, this hacker, had messaged. So I've been very lucky. I have messaged people with DMs, not expecting a response. And I'm not going to name drop, but I've got some big accounts that have just, I've messaged totally like, hey, small indie dev, like really chancing my luck here, but not in a grifty way, but like a really humble sort of, hey, you know, I'm making this game. I'd love it, you know, if you'd let me use your image and your name. That's all we use for the card game. So it's a lovely offhand type of request. And it leaves people being able to just go, oh, if it's just like my ex avatar and my name, as long as I get consent legally, that's perfect. Ooh. But I've DM'd.
This is my old ex avatar, I was going to say back there. But
yeah, well, no. I mean, I dare I say,
famous.
Can I get your consent at some point?
Would I be in a game?
Yeah, why not?
I'll do it. You have consent for me. This is my, I think I might change. I changed my avatar. This has been my avatar for a while. And this is actually from an amazing company, from Not Your Keys, Not Your Coins. Cool merch. It's amazing. But that's the box it came in. It's so freaking cool. But he put my avatar on it. And I recently had changed it during that week where I was freaked out and pissed off. And I'm like, I'm going hardcore paranoia mode. But that is like my go-to avatar. So yes.
I'll look at that. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just ping me whatever you're happy with.
And what's the name of the card game for people too?
Okay. So the card game is called, it's BTCG. It's a Bitcoin trading card game. So
that's amazing. I can't wait to tell my husband that you said yes to this. Maybe you'll never put it in there, but how freaking cool is that? That's amazing. That's so cool.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, I won't harp on about it, but it's
I'm going to be in the game and then I'll be like, I begged him on my show to do this. He didn't want to, but he felt guilty. So that's why I'm in the game.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly.
But we shared a story, you know, like, go ahead.
Just wanted to say, but the DMs I had, I will come back to this, but the DMs I'd sent were like totally out of the blue, and I managed to get some amazingly amazing massive accounts and people that are like celebrity to, so, you know, if I said these names to you in private, you'd be like, oh wow, you know, that, like, and they agreed, and I was just like, this is brilliant. So I've got them in. Yes. And this hacker had messaged these people. So you can imagine the shame and the humiliation I had when I saw these DMs.
Oh, my eyes twitching. Can you see it? As soon as you said that.
Yes. So it's set you off, isn't it? It's triggered you.
Yeah, my eye is twitching right now, if anyone can help.
But he'd like used my account to like just perpetuate his crap and his scam. And he was sending, he'd sent these links. And then bless, there's one account that we follow each other, and I'd like to say we're good friends, never met them. They're called Bad Boating Club.
Okay.
So, you know, like, I lost my Bitcoin on a boating accident. Mm-hmm. So it's that type of, yeah, they're lovely. Mm-hmm. And if they see this, you know, shout out to you. Mm-hmm. They were amazing. So they were so blasé. It was so sweet. They were like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I can. And some accounts were responding back saying, yeah, I haven't got time this week. Like, lovely offer. Thank you. But I haven't, you know, and they were just being politely declining the offer. And it was, some links were, oh, do you want to come on the Empire podcast or something? God, every time I hear that, it sets me off. But it was a mixture of StreamYard link and then go on this Empire podcast. It was a bit of a mix of things. Anyway, some people declined politely, and Bad Boating Club basically said, oh, I'm a bit stuck. I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't know whether it was, it looks like it was legitimately, they just had no idea what they were doing, bless them. And the hacker recorded his Mac desktop. And that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, there's a weird pause there.
So that's what freaked me out, because when they had control of my computer, I was like,
The hacker recorded his own desktop to show this person.
Weird.
And so I can say it now because the police are already making progress.
Nice. That's fucking awesome. Sorry.
The person's name, the hacker. I mean, it could have been, yeah. So they recorded their desktop and they had a name. And then there's me and Rick and a few others. We're all like Googling the name, and then.
Stupid smart person, right?
It's easily done where you can build what they call a virtual machine, a VM. You spin up a VM, give it a random name. The name was Russian. And so, yeah, you know, if you want to go down that street, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't, but it was a Russian name. But it was so quick where he was recording his screen, and that the command console came up and it had his name and the domain name of the Mac. And he quickly moved the screen over the top of it. He was doing it to, like, so he was showing this StreamYard, the client thing that I was meant to install. He was showing it like, oh, I'll send you it. It's the attack. It's like the add-on. This is what I'll send you, sort of thing.
Sim or something to make.
Yeah.
That's what he thought. He's like, let me contact other Bitcoiners to dupe some other Bitcoiners. Then I'll get access to more Bitcoin.
And who knows? I mean, if he hasn't been caught and he's still out there and he's still lurking in accounts and he sees this, you know, good on you. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you can't do anything legit in this world, you're a waste of space.
If you ever see, if you ever know how someone they posts normally and then you see them sound like, I hate to say it, but it was like someone writing broken English.
Yeah. Pigeon English, we call it. Pigeon English.
Okay. So that's how they make the post. And it's like, I know I make a lot of times, like, I'll have
like a typo.
Or it's like a typo. But this literally sounded like you just were from another country trying to speak English from my voice. So it's like, that is not me. Do not click that. So I think luckily a lot of people that I'm friends with on X are very paranoid people as well. So they saw that and they're like, Stacey normally does this, or get a free rig here. Like, are you crazy? Like, who's going to believe that I'm giving away free rigs? Or they thought maybe someone would fall for that.
Is it verify, isn't it? It's don't trust, verify. It's the clichéest line, but it works. You've got to verify this stuff.
Right. You have to verify it. And I wouldn't be like, look at me, it's working. Get your free rig. Like, we know rigs are expensive as Bitcoiners. Are you joking?
Yeah.
Maybe if I was doing a giveaway for a lottery miner, but that's it. You know, it's like, what am I going to give away free rigs to everyone who clicks this link? Are you crazy? So I'm like, what is this person doing?
I just pictured the meme of, and you get one, and you get
like,
one, and you get one.
Rigs to everybody. Like, what a bad. That's why no one. I asked everybody, like, I hope you didn't click it. I hope you didn't. You know, I was telling everybody, like. But nobody said, like, oh, you fucked me. I like did. You know what I mean? Like, or this person got
you.
Yeah. Because of your computer and your download, but nobody—I haven't heard anyone say that they were attacked through me.
And, Same scenario. Yeah, it was so odd. I then messaged people back so I could see the history of the chat, like, you know, to and fro. And I was like, I then put a big caps. I put hi, don't click any links, don't go on any. It was so awkward.
Yeah,
and I, you know, and these big accounts as well, I've managed to message them, and some of them have just laughed it off, like, oh, yeah. Like, some have been really, like, quite understanding, and some, you know, and then they've kind of seen the viral nature of it, and then they've realized it was a legitimate, you know, hack.
Well, then, and when I was messaging my friend group on X, I told them this happened to me. I hope nobody clicked it, but I said, I have deleted every app or file that was associated with this infiltration of my computer. You know, I've changed this, and this. You know, I've done these steps to secure myself. And they said their advice was wipe your hard drive. So all right, I'm wiping my hard drive. Then I'm like, hard drive wiped. And then they're like, you need to reformat your hard drive. That's not enough. And I'm like, I'm so glad I have paranoid friends, because you know what? I don't trust that shit either. Thank you for telling me about this reformatting a hard drive thing, because I thought I was good with just deleting malicious apps. So I love the paranoid level of people that I know online. And I respect their paranoia level, because I need to be as paranoid as possible, which I am already to a point. But holy crap, this has
it's getting more sophisticated. So there's us having these things happen to us, but it's just getting more and more sophisticated. And what with AI, and what with ChatGPT, and you know, you bundle that all together, and like, it can be used for a false for good, or a false for that.
So,
or even worse.
Let's go over a checklist for people to not have this happen to them. So I think if you could add to my checklist is, first of all, do not store a seed phrase on a computer. Number one. Number two, malicious links. I even heard something that if it, let's say it's from Zoom, it should say zoom.com. It shouldn't say zoom.com/blah, blah, blah, blah. Like a bunch of, it shouldn't have weird, like it should be the, anyway, don't click links from people you don't know and download.
Yeah, because you're not going to know what that link is meant to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Be extra paranoid about anyone sending you any link ever, like to click.
Ever.
If it's for a business Zoom call. So don't click on that shit. And then second of all, or third of all, I guess, I would say 2FA on especially email addresses, because email addresses are the doorway to every other service or app or, you know, account that you have.
I would add 2FA is 2FA. So not to scare anyone, 2FA is good, but you've now currently got, so in my workplace, so I do IT sysadmin. So funny enough, with the hack that happened to me, and now we're talking about it, within the next few weeks, our business is the company I work for, a local firm, they manufacture food. They are going through a big process of moving over to multi-factor, which is essentially the umbrella of two-factor, passkey, you know, biometrics. But biometrics, two-factor is kind of like almost old hat now. So you're looking at passkey, which is a good one. So Strike, if you use Strike, you'll have passkey on there, I think. And it's attached to your device, you know?
So I do. I've been doing passkey on my phone, because I've been using a passkey on my phone. I've been enabling that on every app that tells me to add a passkey or any email or any server. The other thing I did get was a YubiKey. I was told about getting a YubiKey, which is... you literally could put it into your computer and only you could access, like, that. Is that good?
So it's a bit like computers, you can only use it if you have a particular USB in, which is kind of a bit of old tech, but that's basically it. You plug that in and it kind of basically says, oh, this is that person, because you've got that key. It's the hardware key. It's the hard key.
I think I'm going to use it. I haven't activated it yet. That's the last step to my ultra paranoia right now.
So computers at the moment, especially with Windows 11, they use BitLocker. So BitLocker essentially locks the OS to the main board or the PCB of the machine, and those keys have to communicate with each other. So when your machine boots up and turns on, there's like a check. Uh-huh. And the TPM chip, I'm getting really to the TPM chip will do a will stores your key for the board, and then the OS has the same key, and they sort of do a handshake. They go, oh yeah, we're correct. This all happens in the blink of an eye, and your machine turns on. But when, for example, you do any changes to your BIOS or anything real structure on the board to the machine, say you take out, a graphics card or something, you put a new one in, the board will go, oh, there's been an actual change. Now, you know, I need to check the key. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft will store your BitLocker key in your Microsoft account online. So I've had to do that recently with my daughter's laptop. Yeah. But that's another thing. So TPM chips, BitLocker, all that sort of stuff.
Okay. So I've been using BitLocker. I've also, there's a setting on Google Chrome that you can encrypt your passwords. I also turned that feature on.
And that brings us neatly to passwords, I guess. Is that are we talking about the fourth or the fifth?
Well, yeah, I have the most complicated shit.
So, Microsoft, there's a schema. There's a scheme. I think it's Microsoft. Whoever kind of disseminates the rules of security to us plebs, there's a thought that, and you don't have to agree with me, but most people use the same password, but change the few letters at the end.
Oh yeah,
It's a known fact that you'll have one memorable word. You know, upper, lower, special case with like maybe something else, and at the end you'll circulate the numbers and you'll use that for many different services. Well, what Microsoft have said is that the entropy of that, which is the strength of the password. When I was talking to Rick was telling me about his entropy of the passwords he was using. So I don't know if you know about Rick. So I keep mentioning Rick. Mm-hmm. Rick Messett. He stood up at BTC Prague a couple of years ago, or last year, I think it was, or the year before. He had 25 Bitcoin stolen.
What?
25.
How did he, was it because they got access to his seed phrase?
So his story is quite famous, actually. And I, if you haven't heard of it, I'd recommend go to Rick Messett's X channel, go back to about 2023, and you'll see a very frank video of Rick, and he's in El Salvador, of all places. And he's gone visiting with his dad. And his dad is an IT guru, like me, he does IT. And Rick and his dad are over in El Salvador. And while they're over there...
I see him.
Yeah, the nicest guy you'll ever meet.
And in Bitcoin?
Yeah, the most unluckiest man in Bitcoin.
It says luck.
I guess... Well, now...
Now.
Now he's the luckiest because he's learned from that mistake.
The Bitcoin way.
Yeah, the Bitcoin way, yeah. And those guys, amazing. So I said very earlier on that I've had people reach out to me like professional support. I've basically been wrapped up in the arms of the whole of the Bitcoin way team. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, Rick. Amazing guy. If he ever sees this, he's going to be like, oh, cookies.
I just followed you, Rick, if you ever see this. So
epic legend of a guy, legend. Nice. He got me in touch. So he got Tony, who's the CEO of the Bitcoin Way, and Tony is a lovely guy. Spoken to him like this, lovely guy. They've basically wrapped me up in their arms and said, we'll look after you.
That's so sweet.
I am a private client now of theirs. They have, like, they're just gonna look after me. So they've sent me I haven't got it to hand. They've sent me a cold card queue.
It's amazing.
They've sent me a Start 9 little mini home hub server thing, which will mean I'll be able to be self-sovereign. Well, you know, I'll be able to...
Still in the process. I have not gotten one myself.
Yeah, so that's on its way. They're like out of stock at the moment. I think they're so oversubscribed.
I think I have them on my podcast soon. I think I'm having Start 9...
Yeah. So Start Night, it's all the rave at the moment. So anyway, they've racked me up in their kind of ecosystem.
Next week.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that's moving forward slowly because of delivery, but that's going to happen. And then I'm going to get one-to-one, like I guess half hour training to top up my security.
Nice.
Knowledge going forward, and I will be able to manage all of my UTXOs, you know, do all my transactions, be self-sovereign, literally run my own Bitcoin node,
like
everything.
Ultra paranoia class, right?
Yeah, to the nth degree.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So I will hopefully be able to disseminate some of that publicly as I go through it and do a few posts, you know, like maybe, I don't know, like a diary of, oh, yeah, came off my second call with, you know, the Bitcoin way and blah, 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 blah. So,
I love it. Yeah. Yes, that is amazing. That is a great way. Yeah, you need to be so paranoid, so secure. And, but yes, I think literally what, from our two stories, I don't know how it happened to him, which I'm going to find out. But from our two stories, it was that
the entropy on his password was too low.
Okay.
It's essentially it, which is the how many characters and digits are in your password. So again, really quickly, go back to the length of your password has to be, or the complexity of your password, make it one really mega difficult password, but then also use, you know, password management tools and things like that. So sorry, yeah, back to what you said.
I have literally, I got to the point where I felt so attacked that they're ultra long, ultra complicated numbers, letters, capitals, lore, everything you can think of. Like I didn't even use a password generating tool. I just, they're like a random, I was just typing in everything myself, like almost like a random, I don't know, like I was doing it myself, but crazy, like no, just almost like closing my eyes and tapping anything. So, yeah. And they're long as shit and I don't care. And I'm going to, like, if it takes me forever to type in password, but I'm saving them now in these, and the, I don't care. I don't give a shit.
The good thing with passwords is you can use a random generator, plug it into any website.
Right.
Most websites have the ability to do forgot password. Mm-hmm. So you can set and forget. And if you do forget, just do forgot password. Use another tool, like you just said.
Right.
Generate a new password, pop it in.
Yeah.
Job done.
And that's,
but you've
got
the extra layers as well. So,
but is it good to use my key too? Should I be extra paranoid for my key? I still want to be like, only I can get on this ship because I have a key.
I would say so.
Because
I haven't had much experience with that personally, but I believe that's what's probably going to happen at my workplace. They're going to have two-factor. They're going to hate that. As admin, we have to do two-factor all the time. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have two-factor. I think they're going to have a key.
Dude, I even got a key that's so cool. Like the key that I got, it's like, it's a new version of the YubiKey, but it's it has the plugin and the NFC chip. So you can like tap it to the back of your phone.
Ah.
So I can have.
That's really clever.
Yeah. So I can have two. I got two because I'm crazy. So I'm going to have one that I'm going to have here, and I'm going to have one that's on the go with me so I can use it on my phone.
Because
when I need to.
I've got my ring and I only show that because, have you seen Joe Nakamoto? He goes round and he's got his ring is NFC adapted.
Yeah.
And he uses his ring, which is attached to like a Bitcoin wallet or an app, and he pays for things with his ring.
That's amazing.
It's brilliant.
How?
Yeah, Joe Nakamoto. Nice. Lovely guy.
Yeah, I like these NFC things. It's like, okay, fine. Try to hack me now. You know, I have all this security. It's like,
exactly. How are you going to hack my ring? You know,
yeah,
it's like,
sucker.
It's surreal.
But definitely, like, I think knowing that the way that they got in, but
the weak point, and this is going to sound awful, was me.
Right.
If you've got these layers of security and they sit there doing their thing and they're just redundant of the human, you should be able to put some sort of, you know, trust in that you've set them, they're strong enough, you know, like you say, unless it's really targeted, the entropy needs to be really high.
And if it is really targeted, it's like, I don't know how important this is, but even having a VPN, I've heard, is like keeping, if you don't have a VPN, it's like having your front door open at night and going to bed, or having a VPN, it's like having your door with a lock on it so nobody just easily could get in, even though they could still break in. But
brute force,
and there's an actual extra layer that you can add to your internet home service that encrypts your network. I don't know how important that is, but I did that too. I don't give a whatever.
Well done.
I'm doing it. I don't care. I really don't care.
There's the word cost involved to all of this, but then I think we're getting to a point now where people are starting to realize you can't really put a cost to your security of depending what it is, but specifically with finance and money, you know, with Bitcoin, especially as long as it's the right thing that you've done the research on to purchase that, you know, is going to secure your Bitcoin. I'm not saying just go and buy all of these different things
One other thing that I think is that there's so many people out there that are afraid to get into Bitcoin because they're afraid of getting scammed or tricked or losing their Bitcoin. But that's why one thing that I think is, you know how like don't keep all your eggs in one basket, like you can cold store your Bitcoin. That's a great way to do it. I don't trust keeping it on an exchange. But one other thing that I like that some people might not like, but I like multi-sig, and I actually have I actually like the idea of the BitKey that has multi-sig properties. And then I also like that if people don't want to do that themselves or trust themselves even that much, because there's people of different generations that trust their level of technological, like how much hands-on do you want to be or not. So there's things like the Bitcoin Advisor where they
Yes, I know Stefan. I'm actually I am a partner with BTCG with the Bitcoin Advisor.
Okay. So, yeah, I love them. Yeah. I love them.
They're lovely.
I think they really opened my eyes. Like when I talked to Peter Dunworth on the show, he was telling me that even if people feel more safe with Bitcoin, let's say they'll only allocate 2% of their net worth into Bitcoin because they're like, oh, I'm gambling with this. Maybe I'll lose it. I don't know. But if you give them away a peace of mind, and I know some people are like, well, I like to cold store my Bitcoin. That's it. And I trust myself only. But that's a single point of failure. And like you said, and I said, like, you know, again, if you are in any sort of way, it happens to you, you don't have the ultimate security, you do click a link, it gets on your computer, now you can get drained if you don't do all the proper things. So you're the single point of failure. So whether you think you're keeping your seed phrase protected, how protected is it? Where is the seed phrase? But if there is any way to, if Bitcoin cannot be hacked, right, which we know Bitcoin cannot be hacked, they'd rather hack Amazon Web Service like they did the other day. You know, and take down half of all the companies using it. But
And Ethereum, apparently, from the looks of it.
Everything else, like they will hack everything else instead of Bitcoin. But if Bitcoin can't be hacked, what they will hack is you. You know, they're going to try to get into your, you know, trick you. They're going to, again,
socially engineer you.
Socially engineer you. Yeah. And that's what makes me think, look, you went through my husband to try to get a gig. And maybe, and then that's what I went down this whole level of how paranoid do I want to be about this? Did they think that he wouldn't maybe use my computer? Do we use the same computer? Like, if that was the case.
Do you have two separate logons? Hubby. Yeah.
I mean, but normally he never uses my computer. But that day it just happened where he was like, oh, my stuff is in my car. Let me get on yours. And he never does. So I'm like, what are the odds that this person, you know?
Yeah.
But
it's just a bad set of circumstances on that day.
I just think it was random, maybe. But even if it wasn't, this shit is not happening again to me. So don't even try. So it's and it's not happening to you. Yeah. You're doing your shit. But yeah.
Well, I've thrown myself into my dev work. I've got other things, but I needed to sort of do a 180 on it and just go the other way from that feeling.
Yes.
So I've pressed quite hard into into the card game stuff, so
funny.
There's more coming, so
good. That's so amazing. And I'm hopefully going, and you do have consent. I will send you a file for this image, you know, for whatever you want to do with it whenever you want to do it. But
thank you, but
for me it's a similar feeling. I threw myself into security, but then I threw myself into my business and throwing myself into Bitcoin for my business and Square and using Square at my work. So this whole week it was crazy, but I felt like I needed
I wanted to ask so you got the kit.
Yeah,
I guess Jack personally signed, you know.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he delivered it to my door. Yeah.
Hi Stacey.
Yes.
Or in American accent. Yeah.
Yeah. Game over.
So do you use that as a POS, like point of sale?
Yeah. So it's a register, but then it has the customer portal. You know, it's like a smaller screen for the customer. And it is what I didn't realize. I would have done this a long time ago. So I wonder if the marketing, like, how did I not know? Because I feel like I know things that are happening in Bitcoin. But thought November, early November, I thought sales from a business can choose to convert a portion of their sales to Bitcoin. I was like, this is a game changer. Wow, I can't believe this is happening. But I guess that's already been happening for a year now. It happened last
really?
2020, where the business could get a Square register or a Square point of sale, however they do it. And they can convert a portion of all their sales as long as last year. It was like, I think spring or something of 2024 where that started. Because when I activated this, right? You go to the banking section of your, because I've been pulling teeth trying to get customers to try to pay with Bitcoin. And then as soon as I activated that feature, because you could go to the banking section, choose Bitcoin, choose how much percent you want it convert automatically.
Because then you don't have to have them use Bitcoin necessarily.
I'm like, you know what? You guys don't want to use Bitcoin? Too bad.
Fine.
It's happening anyway.
Yeah. Well, it's happening for me at my end. Yeah.
And that's what I said. I said, I've always said Bitcoin mass adoption will happen once the majority of people are using Bitcoin without knowing they're using it.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And so.
So this has been happening, right? So, but November, what is coming in November is the ability for people to easily through, like, I guess, I don't know. I think because Cash App, because Jack has Cash App and Square. So I think his dream of starting Cash App and starting Square, now they're coming together. So now the Cash App symbol will be there. You can Lightning pay Bitcoin yourself if you want to pay with Bitcoin.
And they see that and people are already kind of integrated into that ecosystem. Yes. And they see it and they're like, oh, I trust that. Oh, I know that. Oh, okay. Well, I don't need to worry about that other part.
Right.
But I know I can use that. Yeah,
right. So if people are Bitcoiners and they want to use their Cash App, if that's what Jack's vision was, to have these two things merge, which is happening in November. But I guess the ability to convert sales to Bitcoin has been now going on for a while, which, because as soon as I turned that feature on, I'm like, yes, November, whatever the date is, early November, these people are going to pay with Bitcoin. I don't care, you know, like whether they like it or not.
Regardless.
Yeah. But then I saw that I turned the feature on last week and I already saw Bitcoin converted. And I'm like, holy shit, why is this already happening? Yeah. Well, it's already
So like Jack, what did he put? He put a post. Was it Bitcoin is money? It's just, I know he's a man of few words socially, but I mean,
it's amazing.
We're kind of there. Yeah. It's just, I think we're living through a really drawn out adoption. You know, there's not like flick a light switch and bingo. We're going to live through a really long period. So in the next 10 years, it's just going to be like, we'll look back. That was a really long adoption period, but look where it's got us.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's going to force other bigger, you know, whatever you call them, merchants, like Posts or like Clover systems or whatever other people use, you know, to also offer the same, you know, because it's going to be like, hey, that Square is huge, you know, so a lot of people use it.
Run it concurrently.
I'm really happy. So yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I'm happy I'm already doing it. I wish I knew about it sooner. So I think maybe there's a lot of businesses out there that don't already know they could be doing this that should know. So this is an important thing to share so people can like be aware of this, because I had no idea.
So like you're obviously running a business and you're incorporating Bitcoin payments for people to be able to come in and spend money on Bitcoin. The whole card game thing for me was like, I know how to build games, I guess. So I wanted to kind of, you know, put my flag out there and say, right, this is put my stall out and say, right, this is what I'm going to do. I'm kind of building it in for the community, bringing people in, all these different people. And you can play the game. So this goes back to your point. You could play my game, irrelevant of it saying it's a Bitcoin card trading game. You could play the game and not even spend a single sat.
Really?
Just play the game. Yeah. So I thought and planned this so long before making the jump. You can install the game. It's free to install. Play the game. You just play card game. There's no pay to win, nothing like that. But if you want to buy additional things to kind of speed up the process of unlocking things, you can use Bitcoin Lightning in the game. You scan your, you know, your phone on the screen on the QR, and it will unlock that item. And then basically you're spending Lightning. You're spending Bitcoin.
Can you send me a link? I promise I'll download yours, but I won't download other people's links.
After what we've just said. Yeah, I'll send you loads of links.
Right.
And only one of them will be real.
One of them will be real. No, but do you have it on your profile page?
Yeah. So I guess.
This will be it. So I'm going to share that with, and then we'll close it out.
Thank you.
My daughter's got to be picked up from school, so I'm going to have to.
Oh, yeah. No, I did look at the time and I was thinking, you know, we could go on forever, couldn't we? But on my main Bitcoin cookie, yeah, in my bio, there's the, yeah, that's me, the BTCG official. That takes you to the card game.
Yay.
And you can get all of the information. Thank you. You can get all of the information there. It's you know, it's a passion project. There is a website now as well.
Yeah. Did I click that? Hold on. Let's see.
Oh, my God. There's, yeah, talking of links and clicks, but like,
yeah.
It's slowly, slowly, it's, you know.
This is exciting. Okay, now see, I didn't have to click a link because I went to his page, which I just showed you all how to do it. And yes, then I'm saving that. So there we go.
Thank you. So that will get updated. We're going through to the, I've called the, yeah, I've called the, but I like that. I'm like, ooh.
I was there's... like, I'm like, I should be ending this and picking up my daughter, but my mind was like.
Just go. No, yeah. There's really quick. I know you've got to go, but there's going to be a proof of alpha. I've named it proof of alpha to basically a closed group of people. We've got a Discord as well. Again, if people want to jump in there, great. If they don't worry about it. I'm still going to keep doing this regardless. You know, it's not a mass marketing machine, and I really appreciate you sort of sharing this with everyone.
Of course.
But basically, alpha. And then it's probably not going to go launch live and probably until 2026.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad I got to share it with people so they could check out your page and go to the link themselves and join the Discord. And it was so great talking to you. It was so great to share. And thank you for your bravery to share your story. I just cannot believe the odds of it happening to both of us at the same time. So I'm sure that this is going to continue happening in the same way to more people. So be careful out there. Do not click links that you don't know who sent them to you. And even if you know who sent them to you,
trust verify.
They could have just gotten hacked. So if they're sending you a link, why don't you call them on the phone and be like, what the heck is that thing you sent me? Don't click it. So I'm scared of links. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, you know, make sure you question everything first. And then, verify.
Verify. Don't trust, verify. Stay paranoid, get educated, and be internet street smart, but internet smart. Thank you so much. I can't wait to share this video, and you have a great day. It was so nice meeting you and talking to you.
You too. Thanks very much, Stacey.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.